This is an excerpt from what is called the Gaelic Manuscripts, written by the late Stuart Edward White. This excerpt was provided during class number 5, Wide Philosophy, What Life Is and What Life Is For. This is starting on page 27 of the Gaelic Manuscripts. By indifference, inertia, and neglect of one's opportunities for expansive life, we have seen that so far from removing or enlarging limitations, one but assures to them added potency when one enters one's next opportunity. In a way, it is as if a focus on this lack or need was, in the first instance, too diffused, and must now be concentrated so that other possible interests are left outside the field of vision and one's possibilities are narrowed to an obligatory attention. Conceive still an indifference, inertia, and neglect, a continued acquiescence in these new limitations without the normal pressure towards transcendence of them, and you will find the limitations still further narrowed, the individual attention still more sharply focused, his possible activity still further circumscribed. Then, near the vanishing point of this continued process, you find him narrowed not only to the point of such physical disability as cripples him to a place of contemplation in the sun, but his mental movements bound within the circumference of almost the lowest animal. His start upward must come from an interest as vigorous in proportion to his capacity as would equal the pressure, proportion to his capacity of the most enlightened spirit of you all. Nevertheless, the outward and visible seeming of the effort would appear no more than instinctive stirring towards the sunlight and away from the chill of the shadow. But there comes a point when even such a movement seems to hang in a balance of equilibrium, and it is a question whether or not germ of personality is to dissolve into its original elements or swing back up the slow and difficult arc. At that point, it seems that even the opportunity for exerting what you call proportionate pressure has left the power of that atrophied will. Some outside help must be given, not towards supplying a deficiency which the entity itself must fill for stable development, but merely to place it in the way of making the first effort. Now, this type of arbitrary administration of help, rather than the usual and justifiable offer of the materials for self-help, is the only type of instance in which one might call assistance by authority is permissible. I have carried the process back to its first elements merely to illustrate the kind of assistance this must be. It may be offered, generally is offered, far short of the imminent point of final disintegration. The instance you spoke of lately, a person insane forcibly taken to a treatment, your other instance of placing one possessed in the way of dispossession by another, both these in principle are not far different from my type example. Both have reached a state of equilibrium where not the will but the power to apply pressure is lacking. Your contribution consists merely in so placing the person that there is a chance of disturbing this equilibrium to permit once more of individual application, no matter how small in outward seeming, as one touches the pendulum of a wound clock to start its machinery once more. This that I have said is almost self-evident. I offer it merely to round out the course in group work and its extent and the justification of interrelated activities between its individuals. Now I go to page 2. Point 8. Mistaken help. There is here required a warning which Gaelic proceeded to utter. Mistaken, officious, ill-timed help is in reality no help at all. If by making a person's decision for him of any kind, you have deprived that person of a certain opportunity and therefore a certain property, you have robbed him with the best intentions in the world, he said. He may gain thereby certain easements unearned, but at the same time he has been forced to forego a chance for certain self-building, which the process of earning would have accomplished for him. Taken in the group sense, this thing that you have presented him, this thing you have prevented him from doing, is in the group impetus still undone. It remains to be done, and must await another combination of circumstances making that thing possible. That may not recur until a considerable time, and the group is burdened with the effects until that time has come. That is for the group aspect. Now, as to the personal aspect, in the law of compensation, sooner or later you must make restitution in kind for whatever you have appropriated. Some time in your two histories, an extra effort from yourself for the other will be demanded and must be made when condition and opportunity serve. This apparently gratuitous service accounts for most of the responsibility for others outside of the natural affection and desire. It is the affinity which you will probably recognize. As to the assumption vicariously of the immediate consequence of that which you have arbitrarily taken from the other, that may well happen, but it will not be by way of any immediate compensatory balance. It is merely because, unguarded, you have stepped too close within their zone of action. You did not belong within that zone of action, remember, and unless your insulation is strong, it probably will come about that you will be affected. How, asked someone, does one know the difference between the service which you owe and that for which you are going to owe later? That is a very pertinent question, replied Gaelic. The gratuitous service that one owes comes about in such a way when conditions are ripe, that one is forced to pay it by force of circumstance. You have the general principle of offer and appropriation for your ordinary guidance. Now I go to part 3. Chapter 4, Immortality, Its Evolution. Number 1, A Definition of Terms. To understand the underlying concepts in Gaelic's opening words on this subject, it is necessary to define briefly what he will later take up at length. The universal consciousness in the finite is aware of itself in its various aspects through its creations. These are its awareness mechanisms, its senses, so to speak. As it evolves these mechanisms, it becomes, through them, more and more aware of itself. Please proceed to part 2.